Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay Will is going to join us here in just a few minutes as we wait for him to join the show, Bart. This does give us an opportunity, though, to just touch on another topic before we get back into the NBA, and that is the status of Eric Bieniemy as a head coach in waiting, basically.
Right.
Right now, there's only two jobs open. And, okay, Jay's with us, so we can discuss this with Jay also.
Damn it, Jay!
No, that's all right. Timing's okay. Perfect. Jay Will joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. So, Jay, before we get into NBA stuff with you, and I know you guys talked about this on your show as well, Eric Bieniemy, he's down to two jobs available, and here's my question. It's the Eagles and the Texans. Should he take either one of those jobs?
The Texans debacle scares me. The only reason it scares me, and Bart, if I'm off, please tell me I'm off, okay? This is you, myself, and Han. Like we're all in our little circle here. We're like all boys discussion on this one.
Right.
I get worried about, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, about if I do go to Houston, what kind of control do I have? What kind of autonomy do I have? Like, does Nick Caserio really have the autonomy to do what he wants to do, understanding how everything is in that organization with Jack Easterby and McNair, their owner? Because from what I hear internally in Houston, Easterby's been pulling strings the way he's wanted to be pulling strings for a long time now. Hmm. Like, I'm hearing that from people I know whose feet are on the ground who are involved. So is that a scenario I want to go into? And like, do I have to be the savior to Deshaun Watson?
Right.
Like, even if Deshaun Watson and I get on the same page, is that going to be enough? I don't know. The Eagles scenario as a whole, it's another thing about control. I mean, with Howie and the way they actually, Jeff Lurie, and the way they actually work, I don't know if either situation gives you the autonomy that you want to actually have a chance to be successful. One quarterback situation is drastically better than the other. And then if you go to the Eagles, are you going to be force-fed Carson Wentz? Those are two really weird scenarios to be put up against. I don't know if I want that.
Yeah, and you're right on point for me. And the fact that Deshaun Watson had to beg for you guys to even interview me would make me have a pause anyway, because if you don't have anybody that believes in Eric and wants to stand on the table for him, then when we hit a bump in the road, you guys are going to pull the ripcord quickly. We saw that happen in Arizona, you know, with the previous Vance Joseph. We saw that with him. They fired him after 1 year. And Eric at 51 – you know, at 51, if he gets one job and he does a horrible job at it, he's not going to get another opportunity. So sometimes it's almost best to just wait a little bit. But the problem is, I'm looking through the NFL and we saw a huge amount of turnover this year. I really don't see anybody that's going to be on the hot seat outside of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, outside of the Chicago Bears. You know, for the following year where you can say, hey, I'm going to have an opportunity to get back in the game again.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he may have to wait for those two jobs next year if they're going to come available, and that's a scary thing. But it's not bad being the offensive coordinator of maybe the back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Bart. Like, for me, right, it's like if I had a chance to be the assistant coach at Duke, and, you know, I don't know how much longer Coach K would be there, but if you're the assistant coach, you know, yeah, there'll be other jobs out there that – you know, may attract you monetarily, but maybe not situationally. And if there's one thing that I do know at the end of 2020, Bart and Han, is that I don't know what 2021 is going to bring. I ain't putting no expectations out there about what's going to happen or what coaches are going to be in the hot seat. I don't know how things are going to pop off. So essentially, you know, if you could leverage this into that, look, I just want to be one of the highest paid offensive coordinator there is in the NFL and continue here with Andy Reid. And, you know, if Andy Reid decides to leave in a couple of years, then maybe I follow that suit. But I'd rather just sit and stay right than try to take one of these jobs that completely turn around two franchises and actually not have the control to actually do so.
Now, listen, I want to take the discussion a little deeper, because I find it, to me, it's offensive, the fact that this man is overqualified. I don't care about he doesn't interview well. All you need to do is talk to his offense and talk to his coaches and see that this guy's a leader of men. We know that he has skin in the game. We know that he's played in this league. He understands how this league operates. And I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves because Andy Reid is the coach. But, you know, and also Byron Leftwich. We don't even hear Byron Leftwich's name even being mentioned. And he has a team that had a great offense. And you can say one thing about okay, yes, it's not his offense. He's calling the plays. It looks to me like Bruce Arians looking on a flip card, seeing what play that Brian Leffert called. So for me, the fact that not just this year, but look what he did last year, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards. Now, he can't control the turnovers, but he had Jameis Winston. So it's not like this offense is all about Tom Brady. Why is it whenever we hear that it's a coach that we've never heard of or a coach getting a second opportunity, we automatically can assume that that is a white coach? We never can say, hey, man, these guys hired this coach, man, I ain't never heard of him before, and he's a black coach. Why does that narrative continue to be the narrative, the fact that we haven't come far enough where we can't get guys that are football guys that have played in this league, that have paid their dues on both sides, skin in the game, you know what I'm saying, blood in the soil, say this, so to speak, but also guys who have paid their dues on the coaching ranks as well and worked their way up?
Because it's always been that way, Bart. It's always been that way. And as much as we yell and scream into our microphones, it still is that way. And, you know, it's been interesting for me watching the NFL. And, you know, before I started doing our show, you know, and coming on your show, I got to admit to you guys, man, like, I was a casual football fan. Like, I would talk to guys here and there. I knew a lot of players, but it was more from the player side. And I think ever since I've gotten into this and I start actually spending time with some of these coaches and hearing their stories and hearing their trials and how they've had to battle through and hearing about the Rooney Rule and understanding it and doing, you know, due diligence on it, it's like that's a rule that's just in place to save face, man. Yep. That's not the reality. That's like, hey, come to Connecticut. It's hot 364 days out, 365 days of the year. Like, me pushing out all over social media, like, oh, man, you get to Connecticut, like, yo, this ain't what Jay Wilbon telling me it's going to be. I feel like that's what this is. And it's right there in front of our face, Bart, Alan, and as much as we sit there and talk about it, everybody in the NFL just continues to go on the way, doing it the way they've always done it, because that's the way they can do it.
And you talk about, you know, Dan Campbell getting the job, the defensive coordinator from the Rams that I've never heard of before this year getting a job. And you look at Les Frazier, you know, who's been a head coach. He did. Campbell gets his second shot before Leslie Frazier gets his shot. And Leslie Frazier has his team in the playoffs. He has his defense playing well. And, you know, he's been part of the reason about that turnaround.
Teams did reach out to interview. So the problem that I have, in my
I don't even remember Dan Campbell ever even interviewing.
Agents do a lot of this too. Now, and Jay, I know you know this. You know, they're all a lot of coaches are represented by the same agents, so they all kind of know who's going where, and they try to move their guys to certain jobs, and we all know how that works. That's a side a lot of fans don't understand that goes on, but that is really a big part of this. But I just, like, to me, I guess it just starts to become like that mockery of, I think of myself, like, would I want to be a guy that interviewed for a job knowing that you're not really going to get the job because they've already got their eyes on, like, again, the Jacksonville job. We knew from day one Urban Meyer was going to be he was the, as they say, preferred candidate. Oh, but we're going to interview a couple of guys here just so we save face. The problem is, like, why would you want to contribute to that? And the response is, well, you want to be able to get in front and have the experience of the interview. You want to meet people and all that stuff. But you're also contributing to the fallacy of this rule and how teams are going about it. So, you know, again, there is no way to fix this, I don't think. You just have to almost just persevere and get the jobs and have success to disprove whatever issue some of these owners have.
I have a really good friend who is the CEO of a Fortune 100 company. And we talk about diversity all the time. And he's like, Jay, the natural tendency, and he's, you know, 57, 58, Caucasian. He's like, the tendency for a lot of people is to look to hire people that feel like them, that there's some kind of a semblance of them.
Relatable.
If you're going to hire outside the box, you have to go into the game with intent that you're hiring outside the box. There has to be intent in your actions. And I'm not, and Bart, we're on the same page with this. I'm not sitting up here pushing people to hire unqualified people, to hire people that don't belong in these type of scenarios. There are a lot of qualified candidates from a diversification perspective that should have opportunities. And the reality is that we live in a world where people look to hire people that are like them. It's easy. You don't have to face a lot of challenges that come along with that. But we all know the best workplaces are the ones that have not only diversity from ethnicity, but also from a mindset perspective. Because now you can attack it from so many different ways due to your background and where you come from and how you've had to been raised. Utilize that, harness it, empower yourself that way. Unfortunately, I think that's just a very, very slow target that we're trying to work towards, and that's why we're continuing to have these conversations.
I just I'll put a bow on it by this. Do you think the Mets have a little regret in a hire that, you know, they made that, you know, hey, well, he looks like us and we relate to him, but you don't know anyone really, do you, until you vet properly. All right, let's just move into some basketball here.
Yeah, so you get 62 text messages. Sorry.
What's the over-under on when she's not really that into you, Jay? Yeah, like, would it be about maybe five? Would it be about five? I mean, yeah, I would say two is probably the number you'd want to say, all right, I probably should back off. But now, I think 60 is a bit excessive, would you say?
Was he looking to see if they were red? You know you can tell if the text message was red, so she probably wasn't even opening them up to get to in-depth so he could see it red.
When
right?
they hit block number, I mean.
Yeah.
As soon as you send the text, are you there? I've gotten those texts, I'm like, you know I'm here, and you know I'm choosing not to respond to you.
Everybody has their phone on them today. What? There is no, I didn't have my phone with me. You're absolutely right. Oh, my God. Well, anyways, the Mets will move on from this, but it's another one of those situations that needs to be talked about. But I have to ask you about something, and I went on a bit of a rant last night.
Yeah, you did, Alan. I saw it all.
Well, I got you involved in it, and I apologize. I know you got to get your sleep, but I had to. The end of the Bucks-Nets game, which I was compelled to watch that game because I felt like, all right, Giannis, let's see, you're walking into the Lions' den. Yeah. You know, they're coming to stake their claim. You got to remind people that you're still the MVP and this is your conference. He's the defensive player of the year, and he was guarding Jeff Green down the stretch. Jeff Green, Jay. Harden was doing whatever he wanted. You got Pat Connaughton guarding, and I know he's probably a decent defender, but he's not a defensive player of the year and MVP. And there's Kevin Durant, and there's James Harden just absolutely doing whatever they want offensively letting you do whatever you want offensively, and they still end up winning the game. He doesn't even take the last shot. Jay, explain to me how this happens when if you're Giannis, you know these guys are coming to take what's mine. This is supposed to be my time. I just signed for $250 million, and now my window's shut because of this team that was built. You have no chance to win if this team, and they don't even have Kyrie yet, if this team can do that to the Bucks the way they did it so nonchalantly, and he factored in nothing in the last 5 minutes. Please, Jay, explain to me what I was looking at last night.
Bart, let me tell you how this went down. Last night, I'm laying in bed. It gets to the end of the third quarter. I tell my wife, man, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I've been up since 2:45. I'm going to wake up again at 2:45, 3 o'clock in the morning, read for an hour, then rewatch this fourth quarter. I wake up to a slew of texts from Alan. I'm like, oh my, what the hell happened? What happened?
I make
my coffee this morning. I sit in front of the screen, and sure enough, I'm like, damn, Giannis, he's guarding Jeff Green? But not even that. Down the stretch, this is where I think that sometimes we kind of like gloss over the metamorphosis process that happened to LeBron and KD. LeBron kind of went through this thing when he went down to Miami where LeBron had to become the villain, right? The villain, like, I'm going to go take it each and every day. I don't care if you think I'm the bad guy. I don't care if you think I'm the good guy. I don't care if you think I'm a good teammate, a bad teammate. I'm getting it, right? Metamorphosis process. And then that kind of emerged into him becoming King James, right? Yep. KD going to Golden State, like learning what it is to be on a team where there's a culture conducive to winning, even though it wasn't his team, still like, I don't care what you say, 2 times finals, MVP, now I'm going to Brooklyn to make it mine, right? Like a little bit of that villain mentality. I feel like every time I watch Giannis Allen, he's the good guy.
Always.
Like he's the good guy that can't go in and say, God damn it, bud, design the damn play for me. Don't design it for Chris Middleton. Give me the ball.
Yeah, he was setting screens for Middleton. He was like the decoy.
But once again,
understand
right?
That.
But
he wasn't even involved in the final play. We keep showing it back and forth on ESPN Plus, and what you see is Middleton getting trapped in the corner and jacking a three, and then Giannis cuts down the middle. Harden lets him, like, go ahead, dude, whatever. Yeah. And like, if he had gotten the rebound, he might have been able to put it in. But the bottom line is, this is, like, I thought this was his team,
but I thought
he was the MVP of the league, which MVP would mean you are the best player in the game, defensive player of the year, all defensive team. Aren't you locking down someone? Someone, not sitting in the corner with Jeff Green going, I've got my guy. That's up to you, Connaughton. Hope you can help out there, Brooke Lopez. No, I'm like, Pat, get over here. I got this dude because it's a one-point game, and I'm taking this dub. And it didn't happen. I don't understand it. And I know we're not allowed to criticize him because he's a great story. He's come from where he's come from and all that stuff.
That's not true.
But when is it time?
Well, I was going to say this, Alan. I've kind of, you know, you didn't give the ball, I don't know, to Shaq down the stretch if you knew he was a bad free throw shooter, right? I mean, I remember watching the game a couple of games ago where Giannis went 1-for-10 from the free throw line. And look, Brooklyn was, their defense on him was they played 15 feet off him. DeAndre Jordan was pretty much underneath the basket.
That was embarrassing. What a joke they were giving him.
I recognized it, though, this morning at 3:30 a.m. I recognized it, Alan. Bart, I got it. Your closer is Drew Holiday. Yep. He has to be. It's not Chris Middleton, not trying to get him to dance with the ball to get to a position on the floor or run a design play using Giannis as a decoy. At the end of the day, your closing scenario is going to be Drew Holiday and Giannis involved in a ball screen. You're going to roll Giannis to the rim, force the defense to contract, and you have to give Drew Holiday the freedom, the autonomy to make the play for himself, to hit the screener who's rolling, or to skip the ball opposite to Chris Middleton for an open shot. I'd much rather have Chris Middleton for an open shot and Giannis diving to the rim with a full head of steam and Drew Holiday making the shot or making the play than anything else I've seen or the last couple of years I've watched this Milwaukee team play. That's your end of game scenario, Al.
Now tell me this. Is Giannis just an athlete playing basketball? When does his skill set, because it seems like people don't respect his skill set, and until he develops a outside shot, is he just a stretched out, thin version of Zion Williamson?
His skill set is impressive. I mean, look, his wingspan, the way he can dribble the ball, the way he can get to the rim.
Yeah, but it's
not, his skill set isn't the skill set of, like when you say he's a top four, top five player in the league, look at who you're surrounding him with, right? You're LeBron James, like it's complete skill set, everything. What do you want in the bag? Reach in there and grab it. It's Baskin Robbins, whatever flavor you want. Kevin Durant, whatever flavor you want. I mean, the best of the best give you whatever flavor you want. And for Giannis, that inability to make that mid-range jump shot, that shot in general, it makes it predictable to guard.
Giannis
and
is Chipotle.
Why
it's bowls around
Arena. Help.
So I ask you this: can they win a championship with Giannis as their best player, or do they have to go get up? Well, it's too late because they're all locked in. But that's why we were believing that it should have been Jimmy Butler, or he should have tried to go play with Jimmy Butler, or he should have tried to hope to play with Chris Paul. Without that, he doesn't show that killer mentality. He comes up small. And listen, that is an insecurity in yourself and an insecurity in your game that you don't want to be criticized. You don't want to go down and be the reason that you lose. You hope to come up small. That's why he rolled to the basket hoping to get a rebound, because he didn't want the game, whether we win or lose, to be on his shoulders. And that shows a lot about the type of mentality he has. Not the type of player he is, not the worker he is, but it shows the mentality that he has and the belief that he has in his game in big moments.
The two teams that will have a shot at this are the two teams that I think can contend with the Brooklyn Nets to compete for the Eastern Conference championship. Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Between Daryl Morey, the GM, and John Horst, the GM for the Milwaukee Bucks, I am throwing everything at the damn wall. Washington, what the hell do you want? Ooh. What do you want? I'll give it to you for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is going to be the missing link to somebody's team, man. Alan, you know this.
That's
the guy's
what I was
averaging 35 points
next.
Per game. Russ ain't it. He's not happy there. The 3-8, second to worst team in the league. He's going to be that shiny object for somebody.
I was going to ask you that, you know, because I was looking at him, and I talked to a friend of mine down there who said that he's content right now because he's leading the league in scoring. He wants to be an all-star, but he still is all about, like, you know, he should have a bigger – profile than he does at this point. He believes he's among the best players in the league, and I think we all agree he does have that ability. Just they just never win, and they don't build around him, or they don't build with him. So he's happy that obviously they moved out John Wall, but that's not going to last forever. So definitely that's a name to keep an eye on. But what are you seeing as before we – and I know we got to run here. But what are you seeing happening in Dallas? What's going on with Luka? What's happening with that team, and should we keep an eye on that situation?
I don't know. Maybe losing Steven Silas was a bigger deal than what people give it credit for. I've been saying this for a while. I'm not sure Porzingis is it, man. I don't know
he's
how you
back
feel
from
about
injury.
That.
Tim
just
Hardaway
not
Jr.
sure
went 0-12.
I mean, look, I thought this was going to be a year in which Luka had to be better than what he was last year because everybody knows what he's going to bring to the table consistently every night. But I was always worried about, you know, my only thing about that could hinder him from getting MVP is who else on that team really is going to step up consistently to make the game easy for him. There's so much on his shoulders every single night. I mean, I feel like between scoring and assist, the guys, I mean, probably combining for like 70 points a game. After a while, man, that's tiring. Who else is making the game easy for you? I don't see anybody in that team that makes the game easy for Luka to the point he has a triple-double and he's apologizing? Apologizing?
No, he's apologizing. I'm like, come on, Luka, for man. His. Yeah. Now, again, what you watch there, too, with him is we fall in love with the rise, which we saw last year in the bubble, that big shot and everything he's been able to do. But now it becomes, okay, now you got to see, can you make your team win and win big? And if you can't, here comes the criticism. And that's the part that I think will start to make Luka bristle. And that's the part where if I'm running the Dallas Mavericks, if I'm Mark Cuban, I've got to be aggressive now. Because this won't last long. And if he starts to bristle, that's the next guy now everybody's looking at as maybe once out of Dallas. Still too early for that, but all I'm saying is keep an eye on it. Jay, always great to catch up with you. I do apologize for the
late
night.
Take a damn nap,
text,
Jay.
But I had the only person I could think of in that moment was you, and that's why I had to just I sent you text knowing you were probably sleeping, but I figured he's going to see this at 3 a.m. and he'll get back to me.
And
I appreciate you for that.
Hey, ain't it crazy now that we get these late texts now and our wives don't even wake up? It's just like, whatever.
My wife was like, who's that? I'm like, it's my friend Alan. She's like, sure, let me see the number.
Jay from State Farm?
Yeah,
what are you wearing, Jake?
Khaki, red shirt.
Appreciate right, you, boys. Man. Take it easy. That's Jay Williams giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It is true, though. I'm sitting there just tapping away on my phone in bed, and my wife just leans over. She's the glow, and she's all like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm texting Jay Will. And it's like,
are you crazy?
Right. She's like, all right. Like, don't even care. Like, it's hilarious. Oh, man. All right, we got audio files coming up next, going around the world of sports and all the best that you want to hear from those making the news. But first, here's this from DraftKings from Bart.
The return we've all been waiting for is finally here. One of the sport's most notorious icons is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at a huge cash prizes. For this weekend fight, DraftKings is offering new players a free shot of $1 million of prizes in the first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stand underneath the salary cap, and pile up the points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot of millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about football playoffs, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code BART to have a free shot of millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code BART to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. $5 minimum deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit DraftKings.com for details. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Are we only allowed to play the
instrumentals? The instrumentals, Bart and Han. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app.
That dude got canceled.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800. Progressive. A lot of headlines today, as we seem to feel like every day, a lot of things happening in the world of sports, and sometimes we have our takes, and sometimes you need to hear from those making the news themselves, and we do that in what we call audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
All right, Bart, so as we said at the very top of the show, the Mets have fired their newly hired GM and Jared Porter due to numerous unsolicited and explicit text messages sent to a female reporter that used to cover baseball. The messages are from 2016. And so we did ask that question. It's okay. So the Mets did the right thing immediately reacting to it. And Steve Cohen, the owner, saying zero tolerance, which is all the right thing to do once they had this information. But the question, of course, was during the vetting process, none of this came out. Jeff Passan said there really was no knowledge for the Mets or any of the teams that Porter worked for about this situation. Take a listen.
Porter worked for the Cubs, as you point out, at the time, then the Diamondbacks, and now, up until today, the Mets. Is there any reason to believe any of those teams knew anything about this?
Well, I spoke with people in the organizations yesterday, and they were shocked. And listen, it's certainly possible to feign surprise if you did know, but there is no indication at this point that either the Cubs or the Diamondbacks or the New York Mets knew about this before hiring Jared Porter. And the Cubs have said they are investigating this at the time in their handling of the situation, and the Mets clearly have made the ultimate move firing Jared Porter this morning.
That was from Get Up. Mike Greenberg, obviously you hear his voice there at the beginning, asking the question. So Bart, they did the right thing, but it just feels like a story like this, when you read about the details of it and the 60-plus text messages that went unresponded and the pictures and everything else, it feels like if this was an isolated incident, it's a very bizarre isolated incident, but it just tells you about how you think you know someone and you go through the hiring process and you realize that you missed something clearly here for the Mets, and now they have to find the new GM.
Yeah, I mean, and also what you're hoping or what you're thinking is that maybe the other teams have vetted him before and it's just a natural progression and it's time for him to take that step. But sometimes you can never be too thorough. That's why a lot of times a lot of people use these groups or these search firms to be able to properly, you know, turn over those stones, because you never want to be embarrassed like this. Like, at the end of the day, you know, Porter has to take responsibility for his actions, understanding that the Mets may have made a mistake by hiring him and not knowing. But at the end of the day, they should be responsible for the acts of what he did. I think they're despicable, and I think that he should never be in Major League Baseball or any program again, and he definitely needs to get some help. I only sympathize with the young lady, because some people, not all people, but some people are going to say, well, why come out with it now? You know, and understand the pressure that, you know, female reporters have to try and be able to be accepted and be able to get access and not get blackballed or labeled as a problem within in whichever sport that they cover. You know, so I feel for her that she had to carry this weight, and I'm glad that she can put it down, and the truth should always set you free. And he got set free, and the Mets did the right thing.
Yeah, and it's an example, too, not just of, I mean, look, when you read this story, and I encourage you to read it at ESPN.com, Jeff Passan's report along with Mina Kimes, I encourage you not to look at it and say, well, obviously, I would never do something like that. Ask yourself, have you ever heard of that and just said nothing?
Yep.
That's, you know, that's the place we are right now in 2021. All right, so I'm hearing we do have. So let's take a hard right turn here. Instead of going to the other audio we had here, because this is very fresh stuff, I've heard. So Kyrie Irving is talking to the media as we speak, or at least was a few minutes ago, for the first time since he went AWOL from the team. He's back at practice, and he spoke with the media in New York just a few minutes ago, and he explained, or at least tried to, his absence from the team. Take a listen.
Hi, Kyrie. I'm wondering if you were aware that you had violated the health and safety protocols and what that process was like for you in coming back and going through that investigation, one. And then secondly, what your communication was like with the team while you were away.
Happy to be back. Happy to be around these guys. Address the team, address everybody that needed to be addressed. Now it's time to move on.
Bruce Beck.
Health and safety front.
I'm sorry, Malika, go ahead.
I just was circling back on the health and safety front.
Happy to be back. Thank you.
Now, that's Malika Andrews, obviously here for our ESPN reporter. Bart, he also, those who couldn't see, you can't see on the Zoom conference, he was resting his head on his arms on a table in front of the camera, looking like it was the last place he wanted to be. Look, again, your obligation was met to meet with the media.
He just had practice. He's out of shape. He was tired.
What did you think, though, of that? I mean, Malik is asking the right
questions. It's immature, and he has an obligation as the face of the franchise. He's not just some player that comes in. He's the face of the franchise, right? He's the guy that's from here. He's a hometown hero that came back home to try and bring this team and this organization to glory. He has a responsibility and an obligation to answer the questions, like, and to just dismiss them. You can answer them in a way in which you tell them, hey, I'm comfortable with my teammates and stuff like that. We know that he's intelligent enough to play the game. He understands that it's a game that you play with the media, and you can answer them without answering them, but give them a answer that satisfies, you know, the question that they ask without actually revealing anything about what was the issue, saying, hey, I addressed my teammates. You know, I didn't know I was breaking it. You either knew you were breaking a protocol or did not know. And just answer that question. That's a softball question that she gave him, and he didn't even swing.
Yeah, it's all that stuff. But I'll tell you what. The Nets, I think Kyrie's already done his job. He got KD there.
Who got?
And his actions also pushed them. I don't care what they say. His actions pushed the Nets to make that trade for James Harden. Absolutely did. You know, even Jared Allen, who's now in Cleveland, said, I would have done it too. I mean, how could you not?
So he's one of 8 7-footers in Cleveland.
That's fine. They'll figure that out. But the point is this, is do the Nets need Kyrie now on a nightly basis? They really don't.
No.
And when he does play, and he plays at that level we all know, where he is top 10 talent in the league, and yeah, he is. When he's all in, he's a top 10 talent in the league.
Yeah.
And so when he's there, great. And when he's kind of not, you can live without it because you've got these other two guys. Don't you agree? Like, I just feel like
I do worry for the Nets,
I'll live with this because you helped me get these two guys, and we're good regardless.
I do, but I do get worried about him messing up the chemistry like he did in Boston. He was injured in Boston. They played better. And then when he got in the game, it kind of messed up the flow. So they need to learn how to play with him, and to do that, he has to be available. We don't need to be putting him on the back of a milk carton trying to figure out where's Waldo. We need him to be available, and we need him to be invested and all in, so they can figure out how to play together and what the rotations are when guys are carrying the ball at different times. Who's the closer? How do you do about that? How does the offense work with all three? How does the offense work with any type of pairing?
They need the two reps of them.
Yeah,
they need reps together.
And definitely defensive reps. If you watch the lack of defense yesterday,
they're not even going to care about defense. They're going to outscore teams. We'll get more on this coming up in a few minutes because we do want to dive a little bit deeper into this. But that's audio files, and like I said, we just audibled there for a minute because we just got this audio, and we thought because it was fresh, we should get it to you as soon as possible. Bart and Hahn brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So let's dive a little bit deeper now into his comments or lack thereof, and really what it means going forward for the Brooklyn Nets, who really, behind the Lakers, they are right behind the Lakers as the team to beat for the NBA championship. But the Lakers seem stable, while the Nets seem volatile. Will this work with these three players? We'll discuss more. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Pick Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. A newly reimagined Sports Nation is back, only on ESPN Plus. Taylor Twellman, Trevor Scales, and Ashley Brewer relive the night's most memorable plays, the best reactions from social media, top 10 lists, deep dives, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com, and you can catch us, of course, Bart and Hahn, every weekday at noon Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m. and Max Kellerman at 2 p.m. So, Bart, with very little time here, can you tell me the three teams that have at least a $5 billion valuation in the NBA that just came out from Sportico.
$5 billion.
Three teams.
I would say, of course, the Knicks, because you know they always do a good job. Even though they don't do a lot of winning, they do a lot of money. You know that
you're
garden
New York
is a
and
lot.
It's the Garden. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And you got to go to its equivalent in the Staples Center. And so I go out to the Lakers. And then you know we 13? Know that nobody got more money than Golden State with what they've been doing and building that new stadium. That's what they always really go over the luxury
Center,
caps.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Those are the three. Now, out of those three, who has the lowest payroll?
That's even funny to ask. Like Julius Randle, the highest paid player.
At $18 million. They don't have a player over $20 million on the roster. They have the lowest payroll in the NBA. In fact, they have $18 million in cap space just sitting there. They are one of the high. They are the highest, the richest franchise with the lowest payroll. Isn't that amazing?
Good business, man. If they have fans in, it'd still sell out.
And how long will that last? That's the question. And again, Brooklyn, you wonder now adding James Harden to the KD and Kyrie mix, how much their value will go up. Meanwhile, on Kyrie, as we just played you him speaking to the media for the first time in a while, Malika Andrews also saying that she puts on Twitter that he said there's been a lot of family and personal stuff that going on. That he's talked to his teammates and that we're moving on, and he just said he needed a pause. So that's where they're at right now. We'll see when he does return to the court with them. They play at Cleveland tomorrow, so certainly we'll keep an eye on that. But Bart, obviously, you know, that's one of those situations where you wonder, will he ever really play every game this season and make an impact, or do they really need him to do that? If you miss any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcast. Bart, I did all the talking. This was probably your best segment of the show, but I'll let you close it out by saying I'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.